Tell me the story of Jesus. Very difficult to tell the story of Jesus without explaining his purpose for which he came to this earth. Jesus said his avowed purpose was to come to seek and to save the lost. So it's impossible to tell the story of Jesus without telling the story of salvation. It's important to have heard the message of salvation. And yet it's good that we can hear that message again in song, in word. And that salvation is so great that there are several places in the Bible that are devoted to speaking about that salvation. The salvation that Jesus brought to this earth, that he freely gave his life upon Calvary, that his sacrifice there was a sacrifice on our behalf, a substitute sacrifice for us. That wherein he died, he was raised on the third day by the power of God. And by that same power will we one day be raised. And we have that hope. Salvation is used in at least two senses at least in the New Testament. To be saved or forgiven of past sins, we read in Mark 16, 16, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Acts 2, 38. In Mark 16, 16, the writer says that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be condemned. So that faith is essential, but also says that baptism is essential, and it precedes the use of the word saved there in Mark 16, 16. A second way in which salvation is mentioned in the Bible is to be saved in heaven, our eternal salvation, our salvation in promise, the future promised salvation. Read with me from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Some later time we may discuss this entire chapter as it relates to our salvation. But we won't use these three verses this morning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. We've been born again to a lively hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. The Hebrew writer, though, gives a number of statements of warnings to the Hebrew Christians of his day, and for future Christians of future generations, when he sees some things that's going on in their lives, and they are beginning to neglect the salvation that is theirs, the gift of eternal life that is there by the grace of God. And in a number of places he writes and addresses these Hebrews and sets forth a warning, a reminder, so to speak. In chapter 2 of Hebrews, we read this in verses 1, 2, and 3. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the words spoken by the angels were steadfast, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. And he asked this question of them and of us too. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, eyewitnesses. We neglect salvation when we fail to give enough attention to our salvation. And it's a question that I can't answer for you. I can't answer for anyone else except for myself. Am I neglecting my salvation? We can neglect the salvation as far as our salvation from past sins. We can refuse to believe and obey God and serve God and thus not be saved. Or we can be forgiven from our past sins and still in the future fall away from that faith that was once so strong in our lives. James tells us this, and we see it fairly clearly in James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. James 5, 19 and 20. There at the end of his writing, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one converted. You know, a lot of folks say, you know, once saved, always saved, which would suggest you can't err from the truth. And yet here's a clear statement where James says, if any of you do err from the truth, and one converted. So there's a matter of conversion needed of this one who's erred. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner, who's the sinner? This brother who's erred from the way. He which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. So it's a matter of salvation. It's a matter of salvation. Shall hide a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. James 5 verses 19 and 20. Back to our text in Hebrews. In chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, the Hebrew writer speaks of neglect, just neglecting our salvation. Not something maybe we intentionally said one day. You know, I just think that salvation is not worth it. I know when I became a Christian, the Bible tells me that I was saved, I was added to the Lord's church, but I just don't know whether it's worth it anymore. Not too many people say that. There are some folks that say that. I'll just walk off from it. It's too much trouble. Too many hypocrites in the church. It's too much of this. I don't believe the church is headed this way or that way, or they didn't treat me right or this way or that way, but that's not the way most of us do. Many of us, I'm fearful, like the Hebrews, had no idea where this statement was going to come out of left field like it did. The writer, the Apostle Paul probably, is saying, how shall we neglect so great salvation? What do you mean? Well, that's why he spends so many other chapters and paragraphs writing to them, to explain more about what he means. He gives those great men of faith over in chapter 11. Those are not there by happenstance. Those people are there by example. Look at this people, these people. Pattern your lives after these people. So our lesson this morning will be neglecting salvation, or reminding us of our salvation, reminding us that that we're to be held accountable one of these days, whether we have become a Christian or whether we have not become a Christian, and whether we've become a Christian and fallen away or whether we've become a Christian and lived faithfully. We'll all be accountable. We'll all be accountable to God. I can't answer for you. You can't answer for me. It will be all on our shoulders those days. It won't be on my wife's shoulders. It won't be on the husband's shoulders. It won't be on the preacher's shoulders on that day. All the elders will have to give some account. The preachers and teachers will have to give some account of what they taught. But it's really going to be on the shoulders of each one of them. It's something that's personal. It's something that's personal. People talk about Jesus being our personal Savior, and we've kind of shunned away from that maybe sometimes, but Jesus is to be our personal Savior. He is our personal Savior. God is our personal God. If He's not, whose God is He? He's got to be my God. If He's worth anything to me at all, I'm worth anything to Him at all. He's my God, not their God. Salvation was first spoken by the Lord, is what the Hebrew writer said. To know what to do to be saved, we must go to the Lord's Word, because He was the one that first spoke of it. We need to start with Him. And as time went on and Jesus was nearing His life, nearing the early ministry of His life, He appointed 12 apostles who would learn from Him and be able to carry on. But not by themselves. They had to be directed. They were directed by the Holy Spirit of God. And as time went on and Jesus died, and these men became preachers of the Word, preachers of the Gospel. And they had the total of the good news, because Jesus had died on the cross for our sins by then, and He had been resurrected from the dead, and there was adequate proof at that time that that had happened. That lively hope that Peter hopes about, that says about, is our hope. Not your hope, it's my hope. It's the hope of each one of us. If we don't neglect. You heard that word apathy? I think that's what was going on at Laodicea. Let's make sure that Jim is not apathetic. That I just don't float along. You've seen the people that start school. You've seen the kids start school and they get to the first report card and they look at it and think, how in the world did I make those grades? Well, we know how in the world to make those grades. What you did during the quarter, you were given an accounting for it. And a lot of times it's easy to look at our lives and look at the lives of others and say, you know, nobody else is being held accountable for anything. But you see, the report card day hadn't come yet. Report cards hadn't been handed out yet. And sometimes we look out there and say, you know, nobody's got a report card yet. Maybe there's not going to be a day that I'm going to have to give an account of what's going on in my life. Maybe. Early in Jesus' ministry, many who started following lost interest. They lost interest. They began to understand what He was saying. Why, at first it sounded great, and He'd go out and teach these beautiful lessons using these illustrations from around about them. And then maybe there'd be a miracle. Maybe He'd feed 5,000 people with just a few fish, a few loaves of bread. That was interesting. That was interesting. That kept the attention. And yet by the time of John 6, the writer John is saying many went back and walked with Him no more. To the 12, Jesus said, will ye also go away? And their question simply was, well, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. And we believe and we are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. They were assured in their faith. They had a strong faith. And you know why they did it? If Jesus had just sent them back out to fishing, you think they would have been? Jesus kept them with Him. They walked with Him. They looked at His example. They sought to follow His example. They saw Him pray. Teach us how to pray. Lord, in the kingdom, can my boy sit one on one hand and one on the other? No, you're going to have to get down to the towel with them, Sister Zebedee. John and James is not going to be in the kingdom like that, because my kingdom is not like that. Get down the towel. They need to get down the towel and wash one another's feet. They need to be humble like this little child. Men need to be taught the Lord's Word. John 6, 44 and 45. No man could come to the Father except by me, Jesus said. Except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I will, he said. It's written in the prophets that they shall be all taught of God. Every man that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And then having been taught, we must receive the word as they did. James 1:21. James spoke about how to receive the word. He said, receive with meekness the engrafted word. He's talking about God's word, which is able to save your souls. What are you talking about, James? Talking about salvation of your souls. Talking about how you should receive into your heart God's word. Show how you need to put into your mind and your heart and your thoughts the word of God, that it may become one with you. And the word must be obeyed. Romans 6:17. So the church at Rome, after talking about their need for a changed life and as part of that of showing their great faith by being baptized, submitting to the will of God. Ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you had delivered to you. They obeyed the doctrine. There's something about doctrine that you can obey. They obeyed what they had been taught. They did what they were told to do. And in the message that they received, we neglect salvation when we neglect God's word. We neglect salvation. And what are some of the dangers of neglect? You say, I learned about the Bible when I was a kid. Would you like to take a test today? I got some at home. We can hand them out, one each Sunday morning. You probably know within 5 minutes whether you know the answers or whether you just want to tell the elders to get rid of me. But we don't remember as much as we'd like to think we remember from when we were kids, although we remember a lot. I can pick up and sing songs now because I learned them, not when I was a kid, but when I was acting like a kid. In my 20s and 30s around little children at Vacation Bible School. That's when I learned a lot. Some of it I remember. Well, one of the dangers of neglect is over a period of time, we have there's a danger of us hearing something over and over and over again until what? Until we don't hear it. Jeff, come to supper. You tell him every night. And after a while, if you use that same word, you know, if I don't, maybe one night don't go after him, the boys, they just hear that voice. Now, as much as my teenagers at that time like food, that's going to come. But sometimes it might be a voice that they hear. Just hear the same voice again and again. But then after a while, you don't hear it anymore. You don't hear it anymore. The way my dog acts most of the time when I say something to him. Or sometimes when husband and wife speak to each other around a TV. One woman saying about her husband and the football game. So, you know, I just know not to interrupt him anymore. because, say, so used to tell me, now, wait a minute, honey, and I'll be right with you. Said, after a few years gone by, he just puts up his hand. I know to leave him alone. Till what he's looking at right then, you know, is over and the play is done, and then I know we can talk. But anyway, that's how sometimes we just don't pay attention to it. Because I can be sitting and engrossed in something like that, or whatever I'm engrossed in, and you can be talking to me, and it doesn't matter. I don't hear it. Like Brother Philip this morning said, you know, with his hoarse voice. Well, sometimes your hoarse voice comes forth real great in a microphone. But he wanted you to listen a little bit better. We need to be better listeners, don't we? We need to be better listeners. I was reading something in a health magazine that said one of the reasons that some folks have more heart attacks is they're always interrupting other people. Said it may be just that it's a typical thing that belongs to a type A active type person. But said they tried had a little trial on it and tested it, and they found out that these people could be taught like me, not to butt into conversations. And they had a control group, a couple of control groups, and they improved their health just by not interrupting other people. But instead, what did they do? They listened. They listened. Teenagers don't listen. Sometimes husbands and wives don't listen. Sometimes Christians don't listen. Paul had taught these things. The Hebrew writer had taught these people things before. But some of them were listening then, but didn't. As time went on, they got harder and harder of hearing. So we can become hardened. Take heed, brethren, Hebrews 3 and verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departed from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I can look around me, and I can look at people who have terrible lives. And I can look at my life, and my life is not that terrible. I'm not that bad. But is that the standard? Is that the standard? I know we're saved by the grace of God, but there is an amount of holiness that God wants in our lives. There is a matter of godly living in our daily lives that we're to show forth. In Hebrews 6, 4 and 6 speaks to, the Hebrew writer again speaks of a warning of finding it hard to bring back some who had fallen away. Have you ever talked to an individual who have not attended worship in a long time and just seems to have lost interest in matters of the spiritual soul? And a lot of times we think it's a matter of, well, their attendance is just not good. Well, brethren, if we really want to get down to it, our faith is not very good. If my faith is not strong, I'm not going to want to listen to the Word of God. See, I need it to be built up. And the exhorting and reproving that comes from the New Testament that I read there is done by, yes, those who teach, those who preach, but also fellow Christian. We teach and admonish one another in hymns and in songs. That's one of the reasons for us to gather together. Why do we pray together? Because there's power in united prayer. A lot of times in this country we'll have a worldwide or a United States-wide prayer. Why do we do that? We think there's going to be power. We think that God will listen to that powerful prayer of all these people who are begging for whatever. And He will listen. Ephesians 4:19, speaking of the Gentiles, who at one point said who had been, were at the point of being past feeling. Point of being past feeling. To neglect salvation is to face that possibility. Also, a second thing, and we may stop at that point and complete this lesson on another Sunday. If we neglect our salvation, if we are get into a position of having difficulties with our faith and not finding the answer, we could be facing judgment unprepared. Now that's a little startling, isn't it? Does that ever cross your mind when you go to a funeral sometimes to stay and the preacher is preaching and talking about a Christian life that somebody has lived, and you say, no, you know, Lord, I hope that I live that kind of Christian life that one day I will be with Jesus. I will be in His presence forever. But we never think beyond that moment what it is that I need to do, what it is that I need to be in order to make sure of that, in order to make my salvation sure. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, Paul said to the church at Philippi. And they had nothing much wrong with them that he wrote to them about. They had little problem here, a couple of ladies not getting along. There was a little unity problem here and there, but you know, put them up beside the church at Corinth to some of the others, and they came out smelling like a rose. And yet Paul was telling them to work out their own salvation with fear, with trembling. It's an important thing. It's an important subject. Hebrews 9:27 says, appointed unto men once to die, but after the judgment. That's still in the Bible. God has appointed such a day, according to Acts 17, 30 and 31, in which he will judge the world in righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, the writer Paul says that we must all appear in judgment. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, he says, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And then he added, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And yet many who preach the word, who preach the social message today, say, you know, look at the love of God. We need to look at the love of God. But Paul, though he spoke in the love of God in 1 Corinthians 13 and throughout his books, he introduces his books very few times without mentioning the word love or faith or hope, because he knows that that's the focus that should be in our lives. But also he tells of the need to seriously consider our soul's salvation. Because he said, you know, the reason we talk to people, the reason that I, Paul, though beaten down many times and downtrodden and sickly and with the cares of the church and everything on my mind, I still keep in mind that knowing the terror of the Lord, we must persuade men. Persuade men what? Persuade men to get serious about their souls. To neglect salvation then is to endanger the soul. And so neglecting our salvation is danger. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression, every sin, every iniquity and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? How shall we escape what? How shall we escape the wrath of God? How shall we escape destruction, eternal destruction? How shall we escape so great a salvation, which is the first beginning to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? The answer to that question, though not given, is we can't. If we neglect salvation that Jesus Christ offered, where else can we go? We'll read from Hebrews 10, next week, about what the Hebrew writer says, along about verses 10, 22 through the 31st verse. How shall we escape if we neglect so salvation? The answer is we can't. We must not neglect so great a thing as the salvation of our souls. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, if you've not made that step toward the salvation of your soul, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, though, this morning, if you're willing to repent of your sins, to be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins, that can happen today. Salvation is yours today. If you become a Christian, been baptized into Christ, you're added to the Lord's church. He adds to the church daily such as should be saved, Acts 2:47. As a Christian, if you're here and you desire our prayers this morning on your behalf, you wish to dedicate your life to Christ. And some prayers you need to make to yourself and by yourself. If you've neglected your salvation, you need to say to yourself, I will not neglect it from this day forth. Whatever you need, would you come as we stand and sing the song selected?